Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochos Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top. You will notice a house shape around Rabbi Zeira's name and an indication that this is number 2. This is the second approach dealing with the issue of how is it that it appeared that David HaMelech knew when Chatzos was, where Moshe Rabbeinu, as we had learned in our previous year, seemed to not have known when Chatzos Laila, when midnight arrives. So we already had one approach, and now Rabbi Zeira Omar, Moshe Li'olam Havei Yoda, V'David Nami Havei Yoda. Both Moshe Rabbeinu and David were able to determine exactly when midnight arrived. Well, if that's the case, v'kevan deDavid havi yoda, since David knew, then kinor lomali, what purpose did David HaMelech have in having the kinor instrument suspended over his bed, as we had learned in our previous shiur? So the Gemara answers, Saure Mishinsei. He needed it to arouse him from his slumber. In other words, if David HaMelech had been fully awake, and you were to ask him, when exactly is Chatzos Laila, he would be able to answer. But in the event that he was nodding off at that point, so this instrument, upon the blowing of the north wind, would start to make a noise, and that would arouse him. But as far as the basic raw talent, if you will, David HaMelech had that ability to tell you when exactly the midpoint of the night arrived. The cave unto Moshe Hava Yoda, well, according to Rabbi Zeira, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to determine exactly when midnight arrived. Lama le lemeimar kechatzos. Why did he use in his addressing Paro the chof in the word kechatzos? He mentioned kechatzos, which means approximately at chatzos. So, to answer this, the Gemara has two approaches, and we've numbered them here with little encircled numbers 1 and Rav Ashi on the first of the wide lines, number 2. Moshe Kosovar, Shemo Yitu Itztagmine Paro. You could have a situation that I, Moshe, would say it is now Chatzos, but the stargazers or advisors of Paro, they don't have that ability. And it could be that before Chatzos comes, they will think that Chatzos, that midnight, actually already arrived. And since the Makkah, the plague, in this case the killing of the firstborn, doesn't start, they will then say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, you are a liar. You said that it would happen at midnight. Midnight has arrived, according to their perception of things, and nothing has happened. Therefore, it's better to say something in an approximate way, thereby not being able to be put on the spot. So that's what the Gemara now says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the king's advisors would err, and claim that it is already midnight before midnight arrives, v'yomru, and they will say, Moshe badoihu, Moshe is a liar. The Omar Mar, based on this issue, it has been taught in Maseches Derech Eretz, Lameid Lishoncha Loimar Eini Yodea. It is good to accustom a person to regularly say, I don't know, Shema Tisbade V'Tochaz. Rashi says, V'Tochaz Tehe Ne'echaz V'Nichshal B'Dvorecha. That if a person speaks with in a definitive fashion, he might be caught caught on his words and be shown to be a liar. So that, as we just said, it's advisable to avoid statements that are of an exact nature, so as to avoid being put on the spot. Rav Ashi Omar, another pirush for the expression kachatzos of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the chof in this case doesn't mean approximately midnight. The chof letter rather has a different connotation, and he says as follows: Bepalga urto the tleisur nagi abesar havikoi. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing at midnight of the 13th of Nisan, the night between the 13th and 14th of Nisan. V'hochi k'omar Moshe li Yisrael, and Moshe was saying thusly, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty explained or declared, L'mochor, tomorrow, kachatzos halaylo ki ho'idno, at the same time as we are right now, we're exactly at chatzos now, and just like, so that the chof means just like, a chof Hadimion, we call this a chof of comparison, so that just like we are standing now at Chatzos of the 13th into the 14th, tomorrow at midnight, exactly at midnight, 14th into 15th, Ani Yotze Besoch Mitzrayim, I, the Almighty, will descend upon Mitzrayim and kill the firstborn. The Gemara continues with Psukim concerning David HaMelech. Le David Shomra Nafshi Ki Chosid Oni. There's a topic heading that we have. You can see to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara on the outside margin, in under which we've written on the Sinuso Shel David, the humility of David. David Hoya Loimed Me'achirim. We'll see that David learned from others. The Pasuk, as we just read, said that David claims that he is a pious individual. We have to understand this Pasuk a little more. Levi, Rabbi Yitzchok, Chad Omar, one of the opinions, we've squiggle underlined Chad Omar, and two lines later, V'idoch means the other one. So you have Levi and Rabbi Yitzchok, each one giving their opinions as to what is represented by this Pasuk. The double underline emphasizes the expression Kach Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one has their version of thusly said David. So the first one, it says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo Chosid Ani, am I not pious? Shekol Malchei Mizrach U'Marav Yishenim Ad Sholoshos, all of the kings of the east and west, the world's monarchs, they sleep into the morning hours, into the third hour of the morning. Vani chatzos laila okum lahoidois luchan. I arise at midnight, as we saw in a previous Gemara, in effect 8 hours before other kings, and I arise early at midnight in order to say praise to you. The idoch, the other one of the Amoroyim, says kach amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam. Thusly said David HaMelech to the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam, lo chosid ani, am I not pious, shekol malchei Mizrach U'Marav yoshvim agudos agudos b'chvoidom, the kings of the east and west sit in their groups, in their honor and glory, vani, and I, though I too am a monarch, yodai m'luchlochos badam u'bishvir u'bishilyo, kedei letayer isha levaylo. In intimacy matters between man and woman, there are periods of time or situations where a woman is forbidden to be with her husband. And that has to do with blood flows and birth-related matters. Sometimes those blood flows and birth-related matters render the woman unfit or forbidden to be with her husband for a period of time. That's what's referred to here, that David HaMelech himself, a king, but he also functioned as a rabbinic authority in checking these matters. Women would bring to the king himself samples of their of these blood releases, or that's the dam. Shvir is the membrane that represents the initial forming of a fetus, in which bones and sinews and other organs eventually develop. And the shilios, the afterbirth, the tissue matter that covers the fetus in its development, translated possibly as the placenta. So that I was involved in analyzing these things, kidei l'tayri shalabayla, in order to render a decision that may allow a woman to be with her husband. Notice the stark contrast between my behavior and the behavior of the kings of the world that wouldn't get near this kind of stuff. V'lo olid elo kol ma shani oiseh. Not only that, but everything that I do, ani nimlach b'mefiboshes rabbi, I consult with my rav, my master, mefiboshes, the omer lo, and I ask him, mefiboshes rabbi, yofe danti, did I judge properly, yofe chiyati, yofe zochisi, did I find obligated or guilty properly, or did I render a proper decision of innocence, yofe tiharti, yofe timesi, did I declare pure or declare defiled properly? For lo boshti, and I was not embarrassed. Let us take a look at the Rashi, a few lines down toward the lower part of the narrow lines, mifi boshes, mipi boshes, bidivrei halocha hayotzim mipiv, from the words of halocha, that words of legal concern that used to emanate from his mouth. David would at times experience embarrassment. If in the event that he made a mistake, so Mifi Boshes, his Rav, he would tell him, you erred, being embarrassing to David. And yet he didn't refrain from consulting, realizing that, being aware that he could be put on the spot. All of this is David HaMelech's, humility and, of course, difference between himself and the kings of the world. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Breid Ravidi, my craw, what is the posuk that indicates this? It says, V'adabro beidusecho negin melochim v'lo evoish. I speak in your teachings, in your laws, in contrast to other kings, and I am not embarrassed. Tona, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, this appears in a frame. Lo Mifi Boshes Shmo, his name wasn't Mifi Boshes, Ela Ish Boshes Shmo. His real name was Ish Boshes. Veloma Nikro Shmo Mifi Boshes. Why is he referred to as Mifi Boshes? Shehoya Mevayesh Pnei David Bahalocha. He would at times cause David HaMelech to be embarrassed through Torah learning and through legal decisions, as we just illustrated. Lefikach, because David HaMelech subjected himself to this embarrassment, and as a result of his humility, Zocha David v'yotza mimenu kilav. David was meritorious in having a son by the name of Kilav. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Kilav Shmo, his name really wasn't Kilav, Ela Doniel Shmo. His name was Doniel, Voloma Nikro Shmo Kilav. Why is he referred to as Kilav? Shoyamachlim Pene Mefiboshes Behalocha. This son eventually grew up and was able to outwit, if you will, or was able to show Mefiboshes in his respective eras. So that David HaMelech, as a result of his humility, eventually had a son that rose to great heights of Torah scholarship. The Olav Omar Shlomo b'chokhmoso, and regarding him, Shlomo said in his wisdom, "Bini im chacham libcho yismach libi gam ani." The Omer chacham bini v'samach libi v'shiva chorfei dovar. These psukim indicating that David HaMelech was successful in having a son that was able in his sharpness to respond to various challenges. At this point, the Gemara raises a question that lasts a few lines. You can see we have illustrated this as a long question with a long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And we also have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can use this arrow and align it with the arrow you find earlier on the daf and appreciate the question. The Gemara asks, "V'David mi kori l'nafshei chosid?" We saw above a posuk in which David HaMelech seemed to refer to himself as a pious individual, as a righteous man. But would David call himself a chosid? The Hoksiv, is there not a posuk that David HaMelech said, "Lule hemanti l'rois b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim"? That is the pasuk. Now the explanation: the Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, there was a Tana that taught in the name of Rabbi Yossi. The following source: Lama Nakud al Lulei. In the pasuk that we just read, Lulei Hemati, in the traditional writing of the Book of Tehillim, when it's written in a scroll form, so there's a tradition that accompanies this writing, and in addition to the letters that one writes, in this case there is a dot that appears above the word lule, not to be confused with some type of vowelization, but rather a dot that's there based on tradition. So why is there this dot that would appear if you're writing out a Sefer Tehillim? Omar David Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shalom, Muftoch Ani B'cho shato mishalim schar toiv l'tzadikim l'osid lovo. I have full confidence that you pay the righteous their reward in the world to come. Aval eini yodea im yesh li chelek b'nehem im lav. But I don't know whether I have a portion amongst the righteous or not. Well, according to this then, as we said, this dot shows that there is what's called a minimizing factor, whereby he is not sure whether he will see the, as the pasuk says, see the tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim, see the good that the Kodesh Baruch Hu promises in the world to come. He is not sure. So, being that that's the case, how can he claim that he is a chassid, a pious man, when he's not sure whether he is to be counted amongst them? So, the Gemara answers, when he says that he is a chassid, that's as far as his situation right now. As far as the future is concerned, he has hesitation, because Shema Yigroim HaChet. In the future, he might sin, and that can cause him to lose the great reward that he would currently expect to benefit. Kirev Yankiv Bar Idi, and this idea of Shema Yigrom HaChet is illustrated by a teaching of Rav Yankiv Bar Idi, the Rav Yankiv Bar Idi Rumi. Rav Yankiv raises raises two psukim countering one another, seeming contradicting one another. Ksiv, on the one hand, there is a pasuk that says, and this pasuk is by Yankev Avinu, "Vinei Anochi Imchol Shmarticha B'chol Asher Telech." Here the Almighty is promising Yankev to be with him wherever he goes. Uksiv, "Vayiro Yankev Me'oid." And another pasuk says, he was fear-struck. So the question one may ask is, why would he be fear-struck after he received a promise from the Almighty to protect him? The answer is, Omar, Shema Yigrom HaChet. That it's true that the Almighty originally promised to be with him wherever he goes, but maybe in the interim, sins that I committed would have caused me to lose that promise or that guarantee. Kivisanya, there's another Tanaic source that illustrates this point even further. And as you can see, we have a framed section in which this is conveyed. The Pasuk says, and we say this Pasuk is part of the Shira Sayam, we call the Oz Yashir, it says, Ad Yavor Amcho Hashem, Ad Yavor Am Zu Konisa. Ad Yavor Amcho Hashem, Zu Bio Rishona. This is a reference to the first redemption and entrance to the land of Israel in the time of Yehoshua. Ad Yavor Am Zu Konisa, the second expression is Zu Bioshnia. This is a reference to the second or the return of the Jewish people in the time of Ezra. Mikan Omru Chachomim, based on the fact that the Psukim refer to the time of entrance to the land of Israel at the time of Yehoshua, and the time, the later second return in the time of Ezra, the Chachomim concluded, Ruim Hoyisrael Leosis Lehem Neis Bime Ezra, Kederech Shinasalem Bime Yeshua Binun. The Jewish people were fit to have a great miracle during the return from the Babylonian exile in the time of Ezra, just like they had tremendous miracles and manifestations of the strength of the Almighty in the time of Yeshua. But we know it didn't happen that way. Well, how is it that it didn't happen that way? If at the time of Shiras Hayam, which was at the time of Yehoshua, there was already a prophecy, if you will, that they would be able to have this great return, so why didn't it happen? Ela Shegoram Hachet. It's because they sinned, and the sins serve to reduce and mitigate the level of grandeur through which they entered the land in the time of Ezra. So with that, we in effect resolve that which, on the one hand, Dovin HaMelech says that he is a chassid, and as he said that, he really was, but the fear that he expressed that maybe he won't have a chelek in Olam Haba together with the other tzaddikim, that's an expression of fear that maybe until then he will sin and cause himself to lose that standing. The Gemara continues, V'chachomim omre ad chatzos. We saw in the Mishnah at the beginning of our Masechta that the Zman, Kriyash Mashal Arbis, according to the Chachomim, is until midnight. The whole issue concerning the time of Kriyashma, of the evening, is dependent in our current discussion around the Pasuk in the Torah that says Bishachbecha. If we take that to be a reference to a time that people are sleeping or go to sleep, the question right now is, then what is the stance of the Chachomim on this matter? On the outside margin, no say, we have Shita Chachomim, the Kriyashma Shel Arbis Ad Chatzos. We'll be analyzing their opinion that the evening Kriyashma is to be recited until midnight. So now the Gemara asks, Chachomim Keman Svira Lehu. The Chachomim, in their understanding of the word Bishoch V'cha, who do they hold like? E Kerebi Eliezer Svira Lehu. If they hold that that Bishoch V'cha that's found in the Kriyashma is a reference to the time that people are going to sleep, engaged in getting ready and going to sleep, then Lemru Kerebi Eliezer, they should have said that the Zman Kriyashma is until the end of the Ashmura Rishona, until the end of the first segment of the night, the first third of the night. They didn't say that. Continuing now on Amid Beis, Ve'i Kerabon Gamliel Svira Lehu. If the Rabbonon, the Chachomim, hold like Rabban Gamliel, who interpreted B'shach V'chamin the time that people are asleep, and hence Rabban Gamliel said until Amud HaShachar is the time for Kriyashma, so then Lemru, the Chachomim, should have said Kerabon Gamliel that the Zman Kriyashma Shel Arvis is until Amud HaShachar, but they said until Chatzos. So what do they mean? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice that we have a long answer marking, the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are part of the answer. Li'olam k'Rabban Gamliel sfiro lehu. The Chachamim hold like Rabban Gamliel. V'ha deko amri ad chatzos. Their statement of until midnight is k'dei laharchik es ha'odah min aveira, to distance a person from coming to sin. Kedesanya, as will be taught in the following Tanaic source, this concept of Kedei Laharchik Es Ha'odah Min Aveira will be communicated. But before we go further, just to review the main point, according to this Gemara, the Chachomim and the Mishnah hold, in principle, like Rabban Gamliel, that the Zman of Kriyat Shema is until Amud HaShachar. We can call that the Do'oraisa, the basic Kriyat Shema requirement can be fulfilled throughout the night. So the issue then is, why did they say just until midnight? Answer, to distance a person from actual sin. How does that operate? As we now see, Chachamim asu siog l'divrehem. The Chachamim made a siog, is a fence, a protection device for their teachings. So as to avoid a situation where a person would come home from the field in the evening, the Omer, and then say, Eilech lebesi, I'll go home, v'ochel kimo, v'eshte kimo, I'll eat a little bit, I'll sleep a little bit, I'll eat a little bit, that is, and eshte kimo, drink a little bit, v'ishan kimo, sleep a little bit, the achakach ekor kriyat shema asfal, and then I'll get around to saying the kriyat shema and the shmona esrei of arvis. But what happens in the interim? V'chaytfaza zina, he's overtaken by sleep. V'nimsu yoshin kol ha'layla, and end up sleeping throughout the whole night. That is what would happen if a person figures that he's got all night to say the kriyat shema. Avol, adam bo min asodah b'erev. Nichnas lebeis haknesses, a person comes home from the fields, comes home from work, he goes into a shul, he goes into a synagogue, im rogi likro is kore, v'im rogi lishna is shena, if he is a person who's familiar with kore, with Torah shebiksav, so he can read psukim, then if he's a person that's familiar with the shone, has a reference to Mishnayos or the Torah shebaal peh, he does that, he learns that. The Kore Kriyat Shema Ubespalel, then after learning a little bit, he says Kriyat Shema and davens the Shmoyne Esrei, and then goes home to eat V'yochel Pito Umevorech. He has his meal and says his Brochid V'chol Ha'oiver Al Divrei Chachomim Chayav Misa. Anyone who violates this this approach, in other words, like we said before, he goes home immediately, starts eating, and pushes off the Kriyat Shema and the davening till later on, he is in violation of the teaching of the Chachamim, and he is therefore chayav misa. he is guilty or worthy to die. Before we go further, what have we seen here? We've gained an understanding of what Kedei Laharchik Es Ha'odom Min Ha'avera means. So the Chachamim established this rule that Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis lasts until Chatzos. A person then will feel a sense of pressure to do that first, make sure it's taken care of, and not to start eating and then rely on taking care of things later. Regarding this last expression, the Gemara here asks, Maishna B'chol Duchta the lokatani chayav misa. Why is it that in all other places you don't find in reference to dinim de rabbonon, rules of the rabbonon, the expression chayav misa, that he's guilty of a death penalty? Umayshna hacha the katani chayav misa. But here chayav misa is taught. So in order to answer this, we have two approaches. Number one, iboy esema vishum deika oynes shina. Because of the common factor of people falling asleep, being overtaken by sleep and sleeping through the night, it was necessary to shake people up, to scare them a little bit, and therefore, in this case, because we're in effect dealing with the competition offered by sleep, so in order to cause a person to be fear-struck and not not to eat and drink first and then take a little nap. So the Chacham said that if a person violates what we tell you to do here, he's chayav death. V'iboy esema, another point in saying chayav misa, is lafuke miman d'omar tfilas arvis rishus, so as to dispel the opinion that tfilas arvis, that the arvis prayer is a matter of option. Komash malon dechova, by saying chayav misa, we're conveying the idea that it is not an option, but it is an obligation. Now, this issue of tfilas arvis, is it an optional type of davening or an obligatory davening? That is a machlokes that is found later in this masechta. So here the Gemara is making reference that this source is coming to settle that matter, if you will, by showing that that tfilas arvis, by calling it chayav misa, is in fact something that's obligatory, because something that's optional, if one wouldn't fulfill something that's optional, we wouldn't say that he's chayav misa. But so by saying chayav misa, we're showing you that it is something that is obligatory. Omar Mar Kuri Kriyashma Umispalel. In this source, and by the way, you have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up a few lines, you'll notice another little arrow pointing to the line in which this quote is coming from. So we learned in the source that the following is the order of events. He says Kriya Shema, that's number one, and then number two, Umispalel, in that order. And we're talking about the nighttime. Before we go any further in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei written in, and we've written over here a couple of points. Smichas gula l'tfilo bo'erev, the need or lack thereof of having gula. Gula is represented by the end of the Kriya Shema. In the end of Kriya Shema, we make a reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, having taken us out of Mitzrayim, in the third paragraph of the Kriya Shema. And we also have a bracha in the Birchas Kriya Shema in which we say Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael. That's referred to as Geula. And Tefillah is the Shemona Esrei. The issue comes up here is the need to have a positioning of Geula next to Tefillah. Is that necessary when it comes to the Arvis davening? As far as Shacharis is concerned, it is accepted that when you finish the Kriya Shema and the Brachas, which close with the Bracha of Goal Yisrael, immediately we go into the Shemona Esrei. That's called Smichas Geula L'Tefillah. What about in the evening? Is that something that is necessary or binding? Another point, Biur Machlokis Rav Yochanan Rav Yeshua ben Levi binyan Seder Kriyashma Utfilo Ba'erev. We will engage in a Machlokis, an understanding of this Machlokis between Rav Yochanan Rav Yeshua ben Levi regarding the order of the evening prayers. Which comes first? Kriyashma is followed by Tfilah, or is Tfilah followed by Kriyashma? Continuing now in the Gemara, Omar Mar, Kuri, Kriyashma, Spalel. As we mentioned, the source above referred to order. First Kriyashma and then Tefillah. And we're talking about the evening. Misayale l'Rabbi Yochanan. This supports Rabbi Yochanan's approach as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who we will see later. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Eizahu ben Oilom Haba. This marking, ben Oilom Haba, this crown shape, is used to highlight this expression, which we will see later on as well. So here the Rabbi Yochanan is asking, who is considered a person to be worthy of the world to come? Zeh ha-soymich ge'ula l'tfila shel arvis. He who practices this positioning of first Kriya Shema and then tfila in the evening. And it goes without saying, in the morning. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, he disagrees with this and says, Tfilos be'emtza tiknum. When you look at the totality of morning and evening, if we start with the morning, you find first Kriya Shema, then Tefillah, and when you come to the evening, there's Tefillah and then Kriya Shema. In other words, it's if you were to assign numbers to these things, that Kriya Shema is 1 and Tefillah is number 2, we would come up with a notation 1, 2, 2, 1, resulting in Tefillah being in the middle. The Shemoneh Esrei are sandwiched between the Kriya Shemas. That is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's opinion. B'mai komiflegi, what is the basis of their machlokes? If you like, I can give you a scriptural basis, and if you like, I can give you a logical reason for this machlokes. If you like, I'll give you the svara, the analytical approach. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar, Rabbi Yochanan, who has Kriya Shema before Tefillah in the evening, holds Geula Meurta Nami Havi. A certain level of redemption took place in the evening as well. Ela Gulam Aliyasilo Havia Ela Ad Safra. But a complete redemption didn't take place until the morning. So Rabbi Yochanan wants to acknowledge the partial redemption, that which took place the night before the Jews actually left Mitzrayim. So there was and it was at that time, in the nighttime, when they were eating their Korban Pesach, and the Makis Bechoros took place. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar, there is a different Girsa that we have here, based on Girsas Rashi, and it's also found in the Hagois of the Ben Aryeh, found in the back of the Shas Gemoras, where we read here that Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds Geula Meurta Lo Have, Geula, redemption, at night didn't take place. In other words, as far as Rabbi Shua ben Levi is concerned, if it's not an actual leaving of Mitzrayim, events that led up to that are not considered geula, and certainly not enough to warrant smichas geula l'tfila. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi does not accept Rabbi Yochanan's approach to having Kriya Shema before tfila in the evening. V'iboy yaseim akra, and if you prefer, we have a scriptural basis of their machlokas. Ushnei mikro echadoshu, they both expounded on the same pasuk. Dichtiv b'shachbecha uvekumecha. These are two words that are probably very familiar to many of you, found in the Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yochanan Sovar makish shchiva l'kima. The Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the Torah wants us to compare shchiva, the nighttime, the going to sleep, to the arising, the kima. Ma kima, just like the morning, and everyone agrees. Kriya Shema v'achakach tefila. First there's Kriya Shema, then there's Tefillah. Af Shchiva Nami, so too when it comes to the evening, the same pattern. Kriya Shema ve'achar kach Tefillah. Now, we've emphasized with the diamond the words Kima and Shchiva to embolden and highlight the two opinions. So you have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Shchiva being compared to Kima, in so far as order, just like Kima, everyone agrees, first Kriya Shema, then Tefillah, so too in the evening. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who has the sandwich approach, where on the outside, you have, on the two ends, you have Kriya Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei in the middle, he holds Makish Shchiva L'Kima. He too adopts this idea of compare the evening to the morning. Well, what is his characterization of the morning? Ma kima kriyashma somach lemitaso. Just like in the morning, when people arise, everyone agrees that the kriyashma recitation is closer to the bed. What does that mean, to the bed? To your getting up from the bed. From the time you get up from the bed till you start your davening, what of these two do you say first? You say kriyashma first. So the kriyashma is closer to the bed. So too in the evening, I want the Kriya Shema to be closest to the bed, which in this case is the going to sleep. So in the evening, you will first have recited the Tefillah, the Shemoneh Esrei, and then as you're approaching sleep, you then say Kriya Shema.
Mosiv Mar Brei Ravina. He raises an objection to Reb Yochanan.
Now, we have to just review the point that Reb Yochanan holds that in the evening there is a concept of smichas gula l'tfila. Well, if you hold that, and smichas gula l'tfila, for our purposes, we have to go back to the basic understanding of that concept, and it would be having the reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is something we say in the third paragraph of the Kriya Shema. We say Asher Hotzi Sicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So too, and immediately following that, we would expect you to daven. That would be Smichas Gula L'Tfila. So he, Mar Brei Ravina asks. It says in a Mishnah later on, Bo'erev Mivorech Shtayim Lefoneo Shtayim Lachareho. In the evening, you say two brachos before the Kriya Shema, and two brachos that follow the Kriya Shema. In other words, after you finish the paragraph of Tzitzis in the Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Hashem Elokechem Emes, we say Hashem Elokechem. That's the official end. Hashem Elokechem is the end of the Kriya Shema. And as we said in the third paragraph, there was a reference to the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and following that, you would have expected Shmona Esrei, which is Tefillah. But yet the Mishnah says that in the evening you're going to say after the Kriya Shema itself, which, as we said, ends with the words Hashem Elokechem, we then go on to say Emes Ve'emuno Kozos, and that ends with Goal Yisrael. That's one of the two brachas afterwards, and then we also say Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. All of this, two paragraphs, if you will, that follow the Geula of Kriya Shema. The E Amris, boy, Lismoch, if you're going to say that you have to have Geula next to Tefillah, Ha Loko Samach Geula L'Tefillah, you're not placing redemption of the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, which says, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, you're not saying that next to the Tefillah, Da boy, L'meimah Hashkivenu. You have to say the Broch of Hashkivenu, which serves as a block or a interruption, if you will, between the Kriya Shema and the Shmona Esrei. So, by the fact that we have this Hashkivenu paragraph after the Broch of Goal Yisrael, we say Hashkivenu, and we end up saying Baruch Ato Hashem Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad, and that's what you're supposed to do. So how in the world do you have a fulfillment of Smichas Gula L'Tfila? And hence we have our question on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Amri, Kevon detokinu Rabbonan Hashkivenu, since the Rabbonan established that paragraph to be recited, Geula arichto damya, it's viewed as an extension of Geula, an extension of the redemption concept, so that the redemption concept is reflected explicitly in the third paragraph of Kriya Shema and the bracha that follows immediately, where we say Goal Yisrael, and this is extended through the paragraph of Hashkivenu. So we have this idea of Geula arichto. And not only that, but the E lo temoch, if you don't accept that idea, shachris hechi motzi somech, in the morning where everyone agrees you have to do smichas gula tefila, how do you in effect accomplish it though? Isn't there a problem that before you say the Shmona Esrei, we add a posuk, Hashem svosai tiftoch? You finish saying Goal Yisrael, and before you get into the actual Shmona Esrei, Veha Omar Rabbi Yochanan B'tchila Oimer Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, you insert this pasuk, Ulebesof Omer you Lerotzonim Reifi, and at the end we say that pasuk. Now that can be de-emphasized for right now, because we're interested right now in the beginning, and that's why we have That's why we've dashed, underlined this b'tchila mar Hashem svasai tiftach, and we put in brackets this expression ubesof, because we're de-emphasizing this for right now. So, how do you explain in the shachris where there is a need for smichas gula tefillah according to everybody, and yet you don't have a direct flow from the kriya shema into the Shemona Esther, because you've got this posik in the middle as a interruption, if you will. Ela hasam kivat tatakinu rabbanon lemeimar Hashem svasai tiftach. Since the rabbanon established as part of the text this insertion, ketfilo arichto damyo, it's viewed as an extension of tefila. Hachonami, so too with regard to the arvis, the hashkivenu. Kevon to tekinu rabbanu lemeimar hashkivenu kigeula arichto damyo. It's like an extension of geula. So with that response in mind, we understand that even in the evening, there still is a fulfillment of smichas geula l'tfila, even though the paragraph of the hashkivenu appears there. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, a triangle, and under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we've indicated that these are Meimros Sho Rebbe Elozer Bar Avina, and hence his name is featured in this particular marking. Another marking that will appear is a diagonal underline, and you'll see that this is used to emphasize initially matters that are connected with the with Ashrei. Omar Rebbe Elozer Bar Avina, Kol Ha'omer Tehila LeDavid B'chol Yoyim. Tehila David is the beginning of chapter 145 in Tehillim, which we often refer to as the chapter of Ashrei, but in a formal sense, the Ashrei Yoshev Esecha is really a pasuk that's found at the end of the previous paragraph in Tehillim. So the Gemara refers to that as Tehillah LeDavid. So he says that anyone who says Tehillah LeDavid b'chol yoyim shalosh pa'amim, Muftach loy shehu ben ha'olam haba. He is guaranteed to be a beneficiary of the world to come. Rashi says that the three recitations of Ashrei commemorate the three Shmona Esreis that one davens in the course of a day. So the Gemara now is wondering what is so significant about this particular paragraph that such a lofty reward is forthcoming. My taima. And you can see the double underline marking is used to, and in our under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, these are shlavim. These are described as stages. But biwur lama hoimer tilil David ben oilam abba. Why is it that someone who says this paragraph of the Tehillim, why is he so meritorious? So the Gemara asks, "E lema, if it is because mishum da asya ba aleph beis, because it's a paragraph that's built on the each pasuk having the another letter of the aleph beis in order, and maybe that is the source of its great significance. The first pasuk, the first pasuk of this paragraph, we say." Aromimcha Elokai HaMelech, the Aleph Aromimcha, the next Pasuk, Bechol Yom Avorachecha, the Beis, the third Pasuk, Godoyl, with a Gimel, Godoyl Hashem Ulol, etc. So is that its, if you say that that's its significance, well then, Nemo Ashrei Tamimei Derech De Asya Betamni Apin. Well then, then it would be expected that we should say the 119th paragraph of Tehillim, or 119th chapter of Tehillim, Tehillim Kufyu Tes, that has in it the Aleph Beis 8 times.
if one looks into that chapter, one will notice that it's broken down in such a way that you have 8 psukim for each letter in a successive fashion. And yet we don't say Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. We say the Tehillah L'David paragraph. Ela, so then what's the significance of the chapter 145 Kuf Mem Hei, which is Tehillah L'David? Ela Mishum Di'isbei Poiseach Es Yodecha. Because it makes reference to the Almighty as the one who provides our sustenance. Well, if that's the reason, then Nemo Halil HaGodol. Halil HaGodol is a reference to Tehillim Perek Kuf Lamed Vav, which many of you may be familiar with it from the Shabbos morning davening, a series of psukim ending with Kilul Olam Chasdo, and in there we say Noisim Lechem L'chol Basar, which is a description of the Almighty as one who provides sustenance for all creatures. So wouldn't, if the significance of the Tehillah L'David is that it features the Almighty as a sustainer, well then couldn't Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav have been said? Ella, so why is it that we say Tehillah L'David, why is it we say Perek Kuf Mem Hei? Ella Mishum Di'is Bei Tartis, because it has both. It has the Aleph Beis and a declaration of the Almighty as a sustainer of all life. Omer of Yochanan, Nitnei Ma Lo Nemar Nun B'Ashrei. If one looks through the psukim of the Ashrei, which we said before is also called Tehillah L'David, one will find that he says a pasuk with the Mem. Malchuscha, Malchus Kol Olamim, and the pasuk that follows is Soimech Hashem L'chol Hanoiflim. You're going from Mem to Samach, and those who are familiar with the Aleph Beis know that between the Mem and the Samach there's a Nun, and yet there's no pasuk with the letter Nun. So why is it that there's no Nun in the Ashrei? Answer, Mipnei Shiesh Bo Mapolosan Shel Soine Yisrael. There is a euphemism in this line, so when you see Soine Yisrael, which means the enemies of Israel, understand it in a euphemistic fashion, meaning Israel itself. Dichtiv, Mapolosan means the downfall, because the Nun is associated with a pasuk indicating downfall of Israel. Dichtiv Nofla Lo Yisoysif Kum Besulas Yisrael. In this pasuk, if you give it a literal translation, it would say that they fall and do not ever get up, the people of Israel. So we didn't want to make a reference to the downfall of Israel in the Ashrei. So therefore, that pasuk doesn't. In other words, a Nun pasuk doesn't exist in the Ashrei. It's true that this is a pasuk, but elsewhere. But we're focusing our discussion right now on Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, so as not to make allude to downfall, which is represented by nofla, so it is skipped. B'ma'arava mitartzi lo hochi. In Eretz Yisrael, they look at this pasuk in a different way. They explain it thusly. Nofla, the Jewish people can experience a downfall, below sosif limpol od, but there won't be additional fallings. Kum Besulas Yisrael. In other words, once the Jewish people arise from their downfall, they will remain risen. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Afilu Hachi, even though there is no explicit pasuk with a nun, a downfall pasuk, Chazar David V'samchan B'ruach HaKadosh. There is, however, In the paragraph Kuf Mem Hei, in fact, in the next pasuk, in the Samach pasuk, there is an allusion to this idea of downfall, where it says Someh Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim. The Almighty supports all those that fall. So that, as we said, there isn't an explicit reference to downfall, but an allusion to downfall there is, but also with a positive twist to it, where the pasuk says the Almighty supports all those that fall. Omer Rebbe Elazar Bar Avina,
Godol ma shenemar b'michoel yoser mima shenemar b'gabriel. Here we have another comment of Rabbi Elazar bar Avino, and hence we have a triangle, and this is at least based on the name, this is the association between his the previous section. That is another statement of his. Here he comments on different angels, and on our topic heading in the outside margin, we have written Hevdelim bein Malochim Shanim, differences between different angels, Beinyan Mehirus Bitzua Shlichuyos, regarding the pace or the haste in which they fulfill their various missions. So Rabbi Elazar tells us, Godo Mashinemar b'Michoel Yosemi Mashinemar b'Gavriel. Greater is that which is said about the angel Michoel more than the angel Gavriel. Dilu b'Michoel k'siv. It says, regarding the speed at which Michoel operates, it says, Vayo'of Eli Echod Min Hasorofim. Vayo'of is flight. In one fly he comes. The ilu gabi Gavriel ksivu ish Gavriel asher roisi b'chazon b'tchila mu'of bi'of v'chule. And we have a dot underline here to emphasize the point or difference between these two angels. We had dot underline up just above vayo'of elai one flight. Here it's the angel Gavriel is represented as someone who comes in two flights, something longer. In the first pasuk, by the way, you didn't see the name Gavriel. It simply said, Vayof Eli Echod Min HaSarafim. Sarafim is an expression referring to an angel, in a general sense. The question the Gemara asks here, how do you see a reference in that pasuk to Gavriel? My mashma dahai Echod Michoel hu? How do you know that Echod is a reference to Gavriel, to a Michoel? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Asyo Echod Echod. There is a word, through a word comparison, we conclude that Echod is Michoel. Ksiv ha-chavayof elai Echod min ha-sarafim. That's the pasuk we cited already. Ksiv ha-sam v'hinei Michoel Echod ha-sarim ha-rishonim bol azreni. In this pasuk, you see Michoel referred to explicitly, in which it says that Michoel is Echod ha-sarim, one of the ministers. Hence, in the above pasuk, which Vayof Eli Echod Min HaSarafim, we see Echod is Michoel. Tona, in a Tanaic source, we see these ideas mentioned. Michoel Ba'achas, Michoel comes in one flight, one lunge, and Gavriel B'Shtayim, Gavriel it takes two, Elio Ba'arba, Elio is also grouped together here with the angels, he takes him four flights. Umalach Hamoves B'Shmoina, the angel of death, eight, in other words, slower. U'B'Shas Hamagefa B'Achas, however, when there is a plague, he comes very quickly. He comes in very swiftly in one flight. Of course, as we've said in the past, these ideas, and forgive the pun, are very lofty. And for our purposes, we're presenting in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shior, a very simplistic approach, but we also feel a sense of obligation to encourage those to look into the deeper meaning of things. This section of Gemara is introduced by a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note, and this Gemara will deal with Kriya Shema Al Hamita. And in order to bring that out, you can see that we have an emphasis under the expression Likros Al Mitaso, and when you look down Daf Hey Omer Aleph, you'll notice this marking appears again where reference is made to Kriya Shema Al Hamita. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Afa pi shekor Adam Kriya Shema v'beis ha-kneses, even though a person recited Kriya Shema in shul, we're talking here about the evening, mitzvah likroso al mitaso. There is a mitzvah to recite it before one goes to sleep. Omar Rabbi Yosi, my craw. Other versions have Rav Asi or Rav Yosef.
asking what is the pasuk that indicates this, the need to have Kriya Shema together with one's sleep.
The pasuk says, "Rigzu v'al sechato imru bilavavchem al mishkavchem v'doimu sela." Rashi explains, "Imru bilavavchem" means say that there is found in it the expression al levavecha. Well, al levavecha is in the Kriya Shema. Al mishkavchem, so that you're saying Kriya Shema al mishkavchem on your beds. And the domu sela, and then go to sleep. Domu has to do with silence and sleep. Omar Rav Nachman, we continue on the very top of Daf Hei. Im Talmud Chochem Hu, Ein Sorech. If the person in question happens to be a Torah scholar that is accustomed to learning a lot, and certainly learning in the evening till he goes to sleep, so he does not need to recite the Kriya Shema Al Hamita. Omar Abaye, Af Talmud Chacham, Miboyle Lemeima Chad Psuka Derachmi. Even a Talmud Chacham should say a pasuk in which one indicates the kindness and the protection of the Almighty. Kigon, an example of such a pasuk would be Biyodcha Afki Ruchi Podiso Si Hashem Kel Ms, in which a person declares that I entrust my spirit in your hands and thereby entrusting my well-being into the hands of the Almighty. So that the Talmud Chacham, though, even though Rav Nachman says he doesn't need to say the Kriya Shema Lamita, he can rely, so to speak, on his Torah learning to fulfill that requirement. Nevertheless, a rabbi says some posuk should be said indicating the individual's connection to the protection of the Almighty. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. So we now turn back to Daf Dalid Omid Aleph. The Tosfos on Daf Dalid is really a Tosfos going on something that we had learned in our previous shiur from Daf Gimel. The Tosfos is a reference to the top line here on Daf Dalid, where the Gemara had been discussing the sages approaching Dovan HaMelech with a request for increased finances for the Jewish people. And in that discussion, it was concluded that if more funds are needed, then you have to go into battle, expand your territory, and thereby achieve greater financial resources. There was a procedure for going into expansion, into war, and that involved seeking counsel with the king's advisor, with Achitophel, and then approaching the Sanhedrin. And we saw Rashi's pshat there was they would daven for their success, and the consultation with Evyosar. Evyosar was a Kohen Gadol at the time of Dovid HaMelech, in the early part of Dovid HaMelech's reign. And as Kohen Gadol, he also wore the Urim V'tumim, which are the breastplate stones worn by the Kohen Gadol, and they miraculously answered questions posed to them, as they had letters of the names of all the tribes that appeared on the stones. Through these letters, they answered questions posed to them. And the Gemara then brought a pasuk on the second line from the top, where it said, "V'chein hu omer, uvenoyahu ben Yehoyada, al hakresi ve'al haplesi." According to Rashi, the word al, that you see, second word on the line, al hakresi, means before. So that the pasuk is saying, "Benoyahu ben Yehoyada," was approached, and then the Kresi Uplesi, which would be, the according to Rashi, the Urim V'Tumim. The Gemara itself asks why are they called Kresi Uplesi, and according to Rashi, that is a reference to the Urim V'Tumim. We will now learn Tosfos, where there is a different approach to this matter. Tosfos at the top of Daf Dalet, Benoyahu Ze Sanhedrin. Misvora Omer Kain. The Gemara is saying that Benoyahu Ben Yehoyada is associated with the Sanhedrin, with the high court, based on Svora, meaning not a verse that indicates that, but based on logic or understanding. Ev Yosser Elu Urim V'Tumim. It said in the Gemara that Ev Yosser was associated with the Urim V'Tumim, V'Cheinu Omer, and the Pasuk goes on to say, Uvenoyo ben Yehoyada al hakreis ve'al plesi klomar hoyo kodim lohem im kain urim v'tumim hoyu achar benoyahu. This was the pshat that Rashi gave us, that benoyahu ben Yehoyada was al hakreisi, meaning before the kreisi plesi, which were the urim v'tumim. And as such, first the Sanhedrin was spoken to, and then the Urim V'Tumim. Im Kain, Ev Yosar Shehuzkar Achar Benoyahu, therefore Ev Yosar, who is mentioned in the Pasuk, after Benoyahu, Hainu Urim V'Tumim. Ev Yosar then is associated with the, he is the Urim V'Tumim. In other words, he's the Kohen Gadol who wore the Urim V'Tumim stones. Kach Piresh Rashi. V'Temo L'Pirusha. You'll notice that we have a triangle around V'Temo, and a couple lines later another triangle. Questions raised on Rashi's approach. So, V'Temo L'Pirusha, we ask, according to his explanation, Pshita Dev Yosor Kohen Hoya Bimei David, it's obvious that Avyosar was the Kohen. Shelo Hoya Kohen Acher, there was no other Kohen in the time of David. At the early part of David Melech's realm, there were no other Kohanim. Shekulam Neragu Benoiv Irakonim, there was a massacre of Nov, which was a city of Kohanim. They were killed off. V'lomot Sorech Raya Ole, why would the Gemara need to bring a proof to this, namely to Ev Yosar being a Kohen? In other words, the Gemara brought a pasuk on the second line from the top. It said V'chein Hu Omer, and thusly it says Uvenoyo Ben Yehoyada Al HaKreis Val Plesi. And by doing that, according to Rashi, Kreis Plesi, which Rashi associated with Urim V'Tumim, is showing us that Ev Yosar was the one who had the Urim V'Tumim, because in the other pasuk that was featured at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, we saw Benoyahu ben Yehoyada, then and followed by Ev Yosar. So that as far as Rashi is concerned, it appears that the Gemara is trying to prove that Ev Yosar was the one who was in charge of the Urim V'Tumim. So to that, Tosfos says, I don't need a pasuk to show that Ev Yosar was over the or in charge of the Urim V'Tumim. That is obvious even without a pasuk. V'oid, another issue, the Girsas HaKuntris. According to the Girsa of Rashi, Benoyahu ben Yehoyada ein ze ha-pasuk b'shum mokoi. As far as the Gemara, the way we read it, and the way we read it was in accordance with the Girsa of Rashi, there is no pasuk like that. In other words, when you look at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, there is what appears to be, it says V'achrei Achitofel Benoyahu ben Yehoyada Ve'ev Yosar, etc. But there really is no pasuk like that. Lekach Goris Rabbeinu Tam Tidi'isa, Rabbeinu Tam rather has a different version in which it says Vachrei Achitoifel Yehoyada Ben Binoyahu. Notice the difference. Not Binoyahu Ben Yehoyada, but rather Yehoyada Ben Binoyahu. A gentleman who in effect was the son of Binoyahu Ben Yehoyada. And it says Ze Sanhedrin. V'chein hu omer uvinoyahu ben Yehoyada ala kresi vala plesi. And in order to prove that Yehoyada ben Binoyahu was the Sanhedrin, was a reference to the Sanhedrin, the head of the Sanhedrin, there is another pasuk that says uvinoyahu ben Yehoyada al hakresi vala plesi. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the kresi plesi. Rabbeinu Tam explains that the expression kresi plesi hainu Sanhedrin. That's a reference to the Sanhedrin. Shekursin divrehem lamitasan. They rule. Kursin literally means to cut off. In other words, they offer a final verdict. Kursin divrehem lamitasan. They offer final and true verdicts. Uplesi, what does that mean? Uf shem ufloim bahiron. They're wondrous in their rulings. Kamo mufla shebebasin. The word mufla is an expression you find referring to the greatest of a particular court. Mufla is the greatest one in a court. So that the Sanhedrin is a group of great Torah scholars that offer final verdicts and are wondrous in their abilities. So that as far as Rabbeinu Tam's approach to this matter, the pasuk at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, in which it said, "V'achrei Achitofel," he says, "Yehoyada ben Binoyahu ve'ev Yasar." Now, we don't know who Yehoyada ben Binoyahu is, so for that, and the Gemara says that this Yehoyada ben Binoyahu, who's Zeh Sanhedrin, but how am I to know that? So for this, the pasuk is brought on the second line of the Gemara to highlight Yehoyada ben Binoyahu as being Sanhedrin. We give you another pasuk. Ubinoyahu ben Yehoyada was in charge of the crazy place, in charge of the Sanhedrin. But you'll ask, but they're not one and the same. Then Tomar Hechi Poshit Yehoyada ben Binoyahu. How can you conclude matters or reveal things regarding this man Yehoyada ben Binoyahu? Mi Binoyahu ben Yehoyada, by citing a pasuk concerning a different person, Binoyahu ben Yehoyada. In effect, concerning Yehoyada's father, Binoyahu. V'yesh lomar, to this, Tosfos answers that d'mistamo m'male mokom oviv hoya, that our unknown, meaning Yehoyada ben Binoyahu, was someone who replaced, he followed in the footsteps, as we say, followed footsteps of his father, replaced his father in the same position. V'chihechi d'oviv hoya mi-Sanhedrin, just like it's known that Binoyahu ben Yehoyada was from the Sanhedrin, gam hu hoya mehem, so too Yehoyada ben Binoyahu was from the Sanhedrin. So that according to Tosfos, the citation of the pasuk from Shmuel Bey's Perek Chof, Binoyo ben Yehoyada al ha-kresi ha-plesi, is brought in to show that Yehoyada ben Binoyahu was from the Sanhedrin. And according to Tosfos, kresi u-plesi is a reference to the Sanhedrin. This is in contrast with Rashi's pshat that the Gemara was bringing the pasuk of Binoyo ben Yehoyada to show us that Evyosar was the Kohen Godol. And to that, as we saw, Tosis raised his objections. We continue now with Tosis on Daf Dalid Omid Beis. We saw in a Brisa that when a person comes home in the evening from his work, he is to say Kriyashma and then Davin. And after that, he then goes and eats. The Kori Kriyashma Mispalel, Tosfos says, Mikan Mashma, Shemisha Shegia Zman Kriyashma Shalaila. From here it seems that when the time to say Kriyashma of the evening arrives, from that moment, She'ein lo lechol su'uda, he person should not eat a meal, ad she yikro Kriyashma v'yispalol arvis, until he davens, he says the Kriyashma and davens the Shemoneh Esrei of arvis. And as we said, that's pretty clear from the source. It's there, one can also see that in the source itself, where mention was made, a person comes home from the meal, from his work, that is, in the evening, it said, Nifnas lebeis hakneses, imrogio likrois kore, vimrogio lishnos shena, vikore kriyashma spalel. There was reference to some Torah learning that one does before the kriyashma and the davening. It might be noteworthy that it was a situation where he finished work before the Zman of Kriyashma arrived. So there was a gap in time between his work, his finishing his work in the fields, or whatever, and the time for Kriyashma. So in that interim period of time, the source makes reference to Torah learning. But one thing is very clear, according to the Tosis, that at the end of one's working day, one, assuming that it's close to the evening hours, one should take care of the Kriyashma and the Tefillah before eating a meal. The next Tosfos deals with that which was mentioned in the Gemara, that in the evening there is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the need for being Soymech Geula L'Tefillah. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Tosfos Dibur Masel, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Ben Olam Haba, V'chule. And the Gemara said, who is worthy of a portion in the world to come? One who is somech ke'ula l'tfila ba'arvis. Tosfos makes reference to a practice common outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'onu she'oimrim yiru einenu u'psukim achirim achar hashkivenu. There's an entire paragraph that one finds that begins with Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen, and it ends up with a closing section called Giru Einenu, where a bracha is then said, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech B'chvoidoi Tomid Yimlo Cholenu Lilom Vo'ev V'al Kol Maisov. That whole section is something that we say, says Tosfos, in outside of Eretz Yisrael. Oops, Nira. Now the issue is, how do we justify those psukim in light of Rabbi Yochanan's conviction that one needs to be somek gulut filah in the evening? So Tosfos says, Nira hoyo v'takinu lu rabbanon, since the rabbanon established this text, havele kegula arichta detakinu lomazeh, it appears that this is an extension of the geula concept, since they established this text. It's basically viewed as an extension of the geula concept, the redemption concept. Shebesoch kach yispal chaveru gamhu. The purpose of having all of all of this extension is so as people who come late will be able to catch up on their davening while the congregation is reciting these paragraphs. The person who came late will catch up, and they will all daven together. V'lo yelech mibeis haknesses ad shiigmor kol echod filoso, and one won't leave shul until everyone finished their davening. V'gam yesh ba'oisim psukim yudches azkoros, and in the psukim that one recites in this additional section, there are 18 references to the name of the Almighty. That's Yudches Azkoros. Azkoros are names of the Almighty. Keneged Yudches Brochos de Shmoyne Esrei. They commemorate, or in honor of, the 18 Brochos of the Shmoyne Esrei. So that, according to this element, these psukim are actually connected with the Shmoneh Esrei and don't serve as an interruption then in the idea of smichas geula l'tfila. You have kriyashma geula, and then you get to this section, which according to this approach of Tosfos sounds like this section is associated with tfila. So we're going from geula to tfila without an interruption. The agav shetiknu loymar oisam psukim, and since they establish saying these psukim, tiknu loymar chasimo shil yiru einenu. As far as a text, a text is concerned, they established a closing bracha for that paragraph, so that the closing bracha itself is also needed for the 18 references to the Shem Hashem, which correspond to the Shemon Esrei. So since the closing bracha is needed for it, it too is not an interruption. V'halocha k'Rabbi Yochanan, there is a, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yochanan, that in the evening one says Kriya Shema first and then Tefillah, because of this need for being Soymech Gula L'Tefillah in the evening. The Braisa Mesayale, we have the Tanaic source that supports him. We saw in the Tanaic source, one comes home from his work, he says, after he learns a little bit, he says Kriyashma, and then he says Tfila. V'chein Pasak Halochas Gedolos. So to the great early work called Halochas Gedolos, rules the same way. V'im Kain Yesh li zoyer shelo lisaper ben gula da'arvis lishmoin esrei. If that be the case, one has to be careful not to conduct a conversation, not to speak between the closing of the Kriya Shema and the Brachas and the beginning of the Shmona Esrei. Any speech, discussion, conversation would constitute a break, a hefsik, and we are expected to be somech to connect the two, the gula with the tefillah. Umiu, the Seder of Amram, Pirish, Seder of Amram was an early work, meaning early period relative to the Rishonim, an early work that provides a text for the Seder. And in the Seder of Amram, it is explained, Ma Pirush Ma She'onu Oymrim Kaddish Ben Geula L'Tfilas Arvis, after one concludes the Kriya Shema and the Brichas Kriya Shema, we say a Kaddish in Shul. When you have a minion of people, you say the Kaddish before you start the Shemona Esrei. So the Seder of Amram claims that Kaddish recitation is Lashminim, to show the Lo Boin on Mismach Gula Da'arvis Litfila, that there is no need to have Smichas Gula Litfila in the evening. Hence, according to Seder of Amram, a Kaddish is inserted to show that there is an interruption, a break between the Geula and the Tefillah. Mishum, and why is this? Because the Tefillah's Arvis Rishus. Because Tefillah's Arvis is optional. So according to the Seder of Amram, the Kaddish is a demonstration that you don't need to do smichas gula tefila, because the whole arvis is itself optional. Veloy nihira, the Tosfos does not agree. He says it doesn't appear like the Seder of Amram. De'im kein, because if you take this approach, it will then come out. Rabbi Yochanan svirolei tefilas arvis chova. Rabbi Yochanan, who requires smichas gula l'tfila, according to the Seder of Amram, if you do require smichas gula l'tfila, then you are saying that tefilas arvis is chova. Just, we should note parenthetically that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say beferush that tefilas arvis is chova, but it would follow from the Seder of Amram, it would follow that way, that Rabbi Yochanan would be of the opinion that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. De Pluktahi, this issue of Tfilas Arvis Chova Rishus is a Machloikas. And we know the Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Yochanan, when you have a Machloikas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the Halacha will go like Rabbi Yochanan. That's in terms of rules of Psak are concerned, we follow Rabbi Yochanan over Rav. So that the approach taken by the Seder of Amram leads us to a problem. The Seder of Amram, to review, suggests that the Kaddish is a demonstration that you don't need to be Soymech Gula Tefillah because Tefillas Arvis is Rishus.
The problem is, well, Rabbi Yochanan says you are to be soymech gula tefillah barvis, indicating that tefillas arvis would be a choyva, and we know that when you have a machlokus, and it might be pointed out that Rav holds that tefillas arvis is rishus, and when you have a machlokus, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we go like Rabbi Yochanan. And that would then end up having a conclusion unlike the Seder Rav Amram. V'nochoin l'hachmir v'lizoyim l'saper b'entayim, and it is proper to avoid conversation between Shema and Shmoin Esrei in the Arvis. V'teimo, if you'll ask Kashya hilchasa, you'll say that, well, it now appears that we have a contradiction in final rulings, because the kaimalon tefilas arvis rishus, we in fact rule like Rav that tefilas arvis is optional. The hocha, and here with regard to the matter of smichas gula l'tefila, paskinon k'Rav Yochanan. In other words, we paskin first, you say kriyashma, and then you say tefila like Rav Yochanan. But we explained earlier that if you hold you're supposed to be soymech gula tefila in the evening, you're indicating it's indicative of tefilas arvis being chova. So Tosfos answers, Sorech lomar dafinu isover Rav Yochanan kerav diomar rishus, even if Rav Yochanan holds like Rav. Remember, we said before that Rav Yochanan did not take a stance. We don't see Rabbi Yochanan dealing directly with the issue of chova rishus. All Rabbi Yochanan deals with is smichas gula tefila. So it could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan will hold like Rav in describing the tefilas arvis as being optional. Mikol mokom mechayev lismoch. Even so, you do, if you are going to say this optional arvis davening, You have to make sure that the geula is next to the tefila. Im kein dam lonu yesh lismoch. Therefore, for us too, who we rule that tefilas arvis is rishus, but we practice it anyway, we have to be careful with regard to the smichas geula l'tefila. Now, what Tosfos does not address, and we will simply leave for further discussion, is all that having been said, the presence of the Kaddish would need to be explained. In other words, we who are, according to Tosfos, being careful with being soymech gula tefila, and even though it may be rishus, nevertheless, what is the purpose of the Kaddish that appears there, and does it interfere? It would seem from the Tosfos that it does not interfere with smichas gula tefila, but one would have to explain a little bit further why it does not interfere. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.